From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia, Radio Tanggap Bencana COVID-19 dengan Warta Berita.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The Indonesian team bagged 6 medals at the IPO 2020 held online. CPO price in Jambi rises marginally by 64,000 rupiah per kilogram. Now the news in details. The Indonesian team managed to pocket 6 medals, 1 gold medal, 2 silver and 3 bronze medals, at the 13th Asia-Pacific Informatics Olympiad APO 2020, organized online. Acting Head of the Ministry of Education and Culture's National Achievement Center, Asep Sukmayadi, congratulated the medal winners. APO is organized by the Ministry of Education and Culture through the National Achievement Center, in collaboration with the Indonesian Computer Olympiad Team Alumni Association, IATOKI. Sukmayadi remarked that the competition and champions are not everything since the real champions are all the participants. Rama Arya Suta Pangestu, a student of the Canisius Jakarta High School, expressed pride and contentment over his achievements and expressed readiness to make the Indonesian nation proud of the 2020 International Olympiad in Informatics IOI event next September. The price of crude palm oil CPO in Jambi province rose slightly by 64 rupiah per kilogram to 8,809 rupiah per kilogram during the August 21st to 27 period from 8,745 rupiah per kilogram in the previous period. The province fresh fruit bunches pricing officials Putri Rainun stated on Saturday that according to the formulating team, the price of palm kernel increased by 20 rupiah per kilogram to 4,263 rupiah per kilogram from 4,243 rupiah per kilogram, while the price of fresh fruit bunches also rose by 10 rupiah per kilogram to 1,485 rupiah per kilogram from 1,475 rupiah per kilogram. The price of crude palm oil, palm kernel and fresh fruit bunches continued to increase in the past few weeks. The prices also rose this week on the basis of a decision reached by the CPO pricing team, farmers and palm oil plantation companies and relevant parties. Special staff of the Minister of the State-Owned Enterprises, Arya Sinulinga, said that PT Bio Farma Persero will work on serial numbers of process from the raw materials of the COVID-19 vaccine from Sinovac to become the final product. This raw material will be formulated, then filling and packaging. These three processes are carried out by the Bio Farma. Arya Sinulinga in Jakarta on Saturday, August 22nd, added that once the series of processes has been passed, the final product will be packaged and delivered to the public. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. NATO said that claims by Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko that foreign powers are organizing a build-up of troops on the country's border are baseless. The president said he had placed his armed forces on high alert. Protests continued in the streets of Minsk on Saturday following a disputed election 2 weeks ago. Demonstrators are demanding that Lukashenko stand down. The leader, who has ruled Belarus for 26 years, claimed the NATO bloc was trying to split up Belarus and install a new president in Minsk. He said troops in Poland and Lithuania were readying themselves and that he was moving his armed forces to the country's western border. NATO rejected the claim, saying it bears no threat to Belarus or any other countries and has no military build-up in the region. NATO urged Belarus to respect the fundamental human rights of its citizens. Oil producers shut 13% of offshore crude oil production by Saturday in the U.S.-regulated northern Gulf of Mexico as tropical storms Laura and Marco were forecast to cross the region next week. Royal Dutch Shell said it began shutting down productions at most of its offshore operation on Saturday, joining energy majors BP and Chevron, which began shutdowns on Friday. In addition to the 240,785 barrels per day in oil production shut in as energy companies were evacuating workers. The 4.39% or 119 million cubic feet per day of natural gas output from the Gulf was turned off by Saturday, the U.S. Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement said. Storms Marco and Laura are poised to enter the Gulf early next week, with each forecast to make landfalls on the coast by midweek. However, neither storm is expected to become a major hurricane and the forecast storms track cover a wide area. The global death toll from the coronavirus approached 800,000 on Saturday, with the United States, Brazil, and India leading the rise in fatalities. Nearly 5,900 people are dying every 24 hours from COVID-19 on average, according to Reuters' calculation, based on data from the past 2 weeks that ended on Friday. Many public schools and universities reopened classrooms to students despite positive test rates of nearly 20% in some parts of the country. Less than a week after welcoming students, some schools are switching to online-only learning due to a spike in infection. Health experts have raised the alarm that Brazil and the United States still have no coordinated plans to fight the pandemic, as many officials focus on reopening schools and businesses, which is likely to worsen the outbreak. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will visit Israel on Monday and the United Arab Emirates a day later to discuss the country's normalization deal. Pompeo's agenda will be the security challenges posed by Iran and China in the region. Israel and the United Arab Emirates announced early this month that they would normalize diplomatic ties and forge a broad new relationship. Under the accord, which U.S. President Donald Trump helped broker, Israel agreed to suspend its planned annexations of areas of the occupied West Bank. The deal also firms up opposition to regional power Iran, which the United Arab Emirates, Israel, and the United States views as the main threat in the conflict-riven Middle East. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
The commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence 2020
is theme Indonesia Maju, or Onwards Indonesia. Representing the Pancasila, our state and nation life guidance, which was perfected by logo that says, "Proud of Indonesian products," as efforts to nurture people's love for national products. Indonesia.
The anniversary logo looks like the shield of Garuda Pancasila with onwards in the nature beneath it, symbolizing economic equality and growth for Indonesian people and also the real progress of the effort to present the best for people of Indonesia.
Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's spotlight is on groceries to agro sellers receive president assistance. A number of micro and small traders ranging from grocery traders to agro sellers receive productive presidential assistance worth 2.4 million rupiah. Their gratitude was conveyed directly by traders to President Joko Widodo during a ceremony to deliver working capital assistance to several representatives of small traders in the central courtyard of the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, last Wednesday, August 19. This assistance is targeted to be given to 9.1 million traders, micro and small entrepreneurs throughout Indonesia starting next week. On that occasion, a home-based grocer from Jakarta, Wiwi, said that before the pandemic, she could get a turnover of 700,000 to 1 million rupiah a day from selling groceries at home, ranging from coffee, instant noodles, and others. However, during this pandemic, the turnover fell to 100,000 rupiah per day. Wiwi is grateful for the assistance provided by the president. Apart from Wiwi, on that occasion, there was also Iin, an egg roll seller from Pramuka Island, Thousand Island. Iin said that before the COVID-19 pandemic hit, he used to sell his ware to tourists on Pramuka Island. However, since the COVID-19 pandemic, the turnover has decreased. He hopes that the working capital provided by the president will benefit him and his family. Meanwhile, President Joko Widodo said that he really understood the difficulties faced by traders during the pandemic. He said this condition was experienced by all countries. Previously, Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Teten Mas Duki, said that the government had allocated 22 trillion rupiah in funds to distribute aid on a grant basis or free to 9.1 million micro, small and medium enterprises, MSMEs. However, in total, the government will disperse assistance to 12 million MSMEs. This means the funds prepared by the government to provide free assistance to MSMEs reach up to 28 trillion rupiah. The funds are included in the National Economic Recovery Program. Listener, that was this week's Spotlight. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
I am Mahmud Erkulic, Ambassador of Turkey to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between brotherly Turkey and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefits to the people of both countries. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. I'll start an event with August 23, 1932, where the Battle of Stalingrad begins. The Battle of Stalingrad was a major World War II battle in which Nazi Germany and its allies fought the Soviet Union for control of the city of Stalingrad, now Volgograd, in southern Russia, on the eastern border of Europe. Characterized by close combat and direct attacks on civilians via airstrikes, it is often considered the largest and bloodiest battle in the history of war. The heavy losses suffered by the German Wehrmacht made it arguably to most strategic determining combat in the entire war. This was a turning point in the stage for World War II in Europe. Let's move in on to August 23, 1949, when the Round Table Conference begins. The Round Table Conference is a meeting held in The Hague, Netherlands from August 23 to November 2, 1949 between representatives of the Republic of Indonesia, the Netherlands, and BFO, representing various countries created by the Netherlands in the Indonesian archipelago. Prior for this conference, there were three high-level meetings between the Netherlands and Indonesia, namely the Linggarjati Agreement in 1947, the Renville Agreement in 1948, and the Romroyan Agreement in 1949. This conference ended with the Dutch agreed to hand over sovereignty to then Republic of the United States of Indonesia, which later became the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. I'll end today's in history on August 23, 1978, when the birth of Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bean Bryant, born in Philadelphia, United States on August 23, 1978, is a famous American professional basketball player. Considered as one of the greatest basketball players of all time, he scored the most in the NBA over two seasons, was ranked fourth on the list of all-time top regular season scorers, and fourth on the playoff scorers list of all time. Bryant was killed on January 26, 2020, in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our podcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Faria Khanam Mumu in Bangladesh. Hello, Ms. Faria. Thank you for your email. We hope you always listen to our broadcast every day. So please send your reception report and tell us what our programs are most interesting to you. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song for you. Here is the song.
Saat ini Tuhan tolonglah. kasihku terlalu cepat kau serahkan cintamu. Tak dapat lagi ku maafkan salahmu sayang, biar ku sendiri.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, titling Reclaiming the Thomas Uber Cups. On the Independence Day, August 17, 2020, the Indonesian Badminton Association's Central Executive Board held a flag ceremony at the yard of the Badminton National Training Center in Cipayung East, Jakarta. It was attended by all management and staff, athletes, coaches, and employees. The ceremony led directly by the Indonesian Badminton Association Secretary General Ahmad Budiharto was carried out using the COVID-19 health protocols. All wore masks as well as setting the distance between ceremony participants. Secretary General Ahmad Budiharto in his official statement in Jakarta on Monday said that in the current pandemic situation, the Indonesian national badminton team has also a task that is not easy in front of their eyes, namely bringing home the prestigious Thomas and Uber Cup supremacy. Budiharto said that with the spirit of independence, the Indonesian national team hopefully could reclaim the Thomas Cup and Uber Cups. The last time Indonesia won the Thomas Cup was 18 years ago, or in 2002, while the women's national team recorded the title even longer, with the last victory in 1996. It is planned that the competition for the 2020 Thomas and Uber Cup will take place in Aarhus, Denmark, from October 3 to 11, 2020. Meanwhile, Head of the Development and Achievement of the Indonesian Badminton Association, Susi Susanti, assessed that the Indonesia has the opportunity to win the group at the 2020 Thomas and Uber Cup. Based on the result of the draw by the Badminton World Federation, the Indonesian men's teams is in Group A along with Malaysia, the Netherlands and England. Meanwhile, the Uber Indonesia team is in Group B with Korea, Malaysia and Australia. Looking at players' material, the Thomas Indonesia team has a better chance of dominating Group A. However, Susi Susanti, the 1992 Barcelona Olympics gold medalist, who is now a national coach, is focusing on making Thomas teams reach the Big Eight first. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply an email from our listener, Venkata Ratnam Yaluri in India. We have received your email on August 17th, 2020. Thank you for your email. We very appreciate if you want to send your criticism on our broadcast. So please send your reception report. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Ski.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder featuring Indonesia's tourist attractions. This time, I will invite you to Southeast Sulawesi Province to enjoy the beauty of Liwu Tongkidi Island. Liwu Tongkidi is one of the islands in Buton Regency, Southeast Sulawesi Province. This island covers an area of about 1,000 square kilometers. It has a tropical climate and is pricelessly located in Siompu and Kadatua sub-districts. Liwu Tongkidi Island has a dazzling view with its stunning white sand surrounding the entire island. The waves combined with the beautiful blue sea make this island even more fantastic. The diversity of coral reefs and marine life around this island has become a new magnet for tourists, especially divers. You can also feel serenity on Liwu Tongkidi because this island is uninhabited. Another uniqueness of Liwu Tongkidi Island is that it looks like two rings entangled from the air. Liwu Tongkidi Island is indeed wonderful throughout the day, but the best time to enjoy its beauty is in the morning, because at that time, the morning sun will start to shine and will present an incredibly amazing natural atmosphere accompanied by fresh air. Most tourists who come to Liwu Tongkidi Island will do snorkeling to see the beautiful coral reefs and colorful fish, while for those who have an adventurous spirit, can also climb a small hill in the south of the island. From the top of this hill, the natural charm will look even more fabulous, especially with the blue sea water and the gentle breeze. Tourists who come from out of town and want to stay overnight need not to worry about accommodation. Not far from Liwu Tongkidi Island, there are many comfortable hotels to stay, as well as many restaurants that serve a variety of delicious dishes, especially seafood. However, on the uninhabited Liwu Tongkidi Island itself, things are still so natural with almost no supporting facilities. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again in the next edition with other interesting topics. See you!
I am Valery Kalisnik, Ambassador of the Republic of Belarus to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between Belarus and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefits to the peoples of the two countries.
Now we will reply an email from our listener, S.B. Sharma in India. Hello, Mr. Sharma. How are you? It has been a long time you do not send your reception report on our broadcast. We hope that you are in good condition and still keep monitoring our broadcast. Thank you for your email dated August 16th, 2020. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Here is the song.
Restau terenak, membaca di sudut paling tenang, menonton pertunjukan musik, telusuri jalanan dari malam hingga pagi.
Here is Musalani that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to Musalani. This edition is about the Indonesian Embassy, together with universities in Indonesia and England, launch consortium for interdisciplinary. Stay tuned. To increase cooperation in the education sector, the Indonesian Embassy in London, together with a number of universities in Indonesia and the UK, formed the United Kingdom Indonesia Consortium for Interdisciplinary on Friday, August 21st. The British universities are the University of Nottingham, Coventry University, and Warwick University, while from Indonesia are Bogor Agricultural Institute and Bandung Institute of Technology. The Minister of Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia, Head of the National Research and Innovation Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, at the launch of the consortium, said that this initiative is a form of progress in close cooperation between the two countries in the fields of science and technology, innovation, and global research collaboration, also to develop and involve wider stakeholders. The UK Minister of Science and Technology, Research and Innovation, Amanda Soloway, also shared the same opinion. She stated that the launch of the United Kingdom Indonesia Consortium for Interdisciplinary was one of the achievements of bilateral relations between the two countries, building closer economic and cultural ties. It is expected to be able to encourage research, among others, through the New Town Fund, an advanced collaboration of scientists in disaster, pandemic management, and areas that are common challenges. Meanwhile, Tragedy Affairs of the Indonesian Embassy in London, Adam M. Tugio, said that the momentum for the formation of the consortium was very appropriate. First, as the contribution of scientists in handling the impact of the disruption of COVID-19 on economic and social aspects that require international cooperation. Second, it provides a platform for scientists, universities, and research centers to increase collaboration as an implementation of the Indonesia-UK Research and Innovation MOU. Third, bridging academics with implementation in the community through the Public Outreach Program. Adam M. Tugio added that the launch of the United Kingdom Indonesia Consortium for Interdisciplinary was also a gift from the Indonesian scientist diaspora to their country in celebrating the Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia. Listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany.
Sudah lama ku percaya cinta hanya sebuah kata, tak nyata makna di dalamnya. Dusta cipta Adam dan Hawa, dan kau datang mengubah hampir segalanya. Karena hadirmu membawa tanya, ku bermimpi dengan mata yang terbuka, ku melayang di atas awan tanpa terbang. Ku telah jatuh cinta tanpa kau harus berusaha. Kau bertanya menjadi rasa. Cari arti dari semua ini, rasa tinggi karena kau di sini. Kau beri kesempatan hati untuk kembali mencintai, dan kau datang mengubah hampir segalanya. Karena hadirmu membawa tanya, oh, oh. Ku bermimpi dengan mata yang terbuka. Ku melayang di atas awan tanpa terbang. Ku tak jatuh cinta tanpa kau harus berusaha. Layang di atas awan tanpa terbang.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present you a song by Yuka Tamada. The Makassar Japanese mixed blood singer began to be known since she appeared in the Indonesian Idol, broadcast at the national private television. Since then, she has continued her work in the Indonesian music industry. Apart from being singer, she also composed several songs. One of the songs she created was titled Tell Me Baby. The song tells about the feeling of confusion and despair experienced by someone when she does not have a definite answer. The song Tell Me Baby was written by Yuka based on stories from the people around her. The music arrangement was assisted by Rizky Pristiono, who took on the nuances of R&B in the 90s. Well, listener, here is the song Tell Me Baby, sung by Yuka Tamada.
Baby, one more time. Hingga kau kembali padaku. Tell me, baby, one more time. Masih adakah peluang untuk diriku? Tell me, baby, one more time.
berada di sisimu. Tell me baby one more time. Tidak cukupkah hanya dengan cintaku?
Luar biasa sehingga Voice of Indonesia.
Kita telah memutuskan tak lagi bersama karena rintangan yang ada tak henti menghadang. Haruskah ku resah ini, salahkah aku atas perasaan ini yang tak mampu menutupi aku masih cinta kamu. Biarkan aku pilih jalan untuk sendiri tanpa harus ada lagi cinta selain
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.